Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. 57 years of financial security. It's about time.
Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Are you not getting your questions answered?
No, of course not.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Co-host of the Sports Adjacent Podcast.
I still definitely crave Captain Crunch Crunchberries. I could eat myself sick on that, but I'd be happy.
Jason Leisure with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Jason Leisure, the Bears writer of the Sun-Times on Twitter, at Jason Leisure. He is on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook, and Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. What's happening, Jason? How are you?
Hey, Dan. Is Layla there, too?
She is indeed. Can't you see her?
Hi.
I can't, but oh. I'll trust it. I can hear the voice. I'll trust it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here.
It's not AI Layla or something.
I mean, it could be. I'm probably going to ask you the same questions. Like, hey, Jason, what stood out to you the most being part of the media who could actually see what was going on at OTAs yesterday?
The media is a monolith that covers events in the world. Now,
I hear it is useful.
I think two main things stood out. One, and these are really the same thing, I guess. The Bears look a lot better. You look around at the players, there are much better players here. You also look around at the players and you say, this is not a finished product yet. So it's still going to take patience. That's one of the things I'm most curious about, Layla, going into next season, is how are people going to react if this team makes the jump from 3 wins to 7 wins? And 7-10 is not great, but it is moving forward. So, I mean, that might be kind of what we're looking at.
I think that when you mention it, it's a good time to point out what people tend to picture when you hear about all this improvement and just what records tend to be in the NFL. And I think there are a lot of fans who just assume the Bears are going to have a winning season next season based on everyone that they've acquired. But you make a good point. Even from what they've had, this is going to be a specific jump. And Ryan Poles has alluded to that as well. It's not that simple.
I think there's a range of what they could be. Maybe the range is like 5 wins at the worst case scenario, and maybe 10 or 11 if a lot of things go right. And one of those things has already gone right with Aaron Rodgers leaving the division. But defensively, it's the personnel is just really not there yet. Offensively and overall, when you talk about the range of where the Bears could be as a team, how good their record would be, I think this is the first time in Justin Fields' career where you can sit here and say it depends on him, because you do see a lot of other pieces in place on offense. You see on paper an offensive line that looks legitimate for the first time in his career, and you see a wide receiver core, same thing. And you don't see stars. You don't see probably anybody on offense where you're like, that guy's awesome. DJ Moore is the closest probably. But Justin Fields could have been really good the last 2 years and it probably wouldn't have mattered. And in fact, he was really good at times last year and it didn't matter. They kept losing. this is finally a time where they're going to be as good as he is.
What's meaningful to you among the absences?
Oh, Jalen Johnson, for sure.
Why?
Well, because it was logical to suspect that it was headed toward this all along. And you're fresh off seeing how everything played out with Roquan Smith last year. And OTAs are voluntary, sure. And Matt Eberflus made sure that he said that 50 times yesterday as a way of not having to answer questions about who's there and who's not there and why. But standard practice in the NFL is guys go to this unless they're either hurt or have a contract issue, or like Robert Quinn, they just don't feel like it and they can afford the 90 grand or whatever it is. I guess that was minicamp that he skipped, but and got fined for. He could skip all this for free. Jalen Johnson, if somebody asked me, hey, how have things gone for Jalen Johnson since the new regime took over? I'd say a little choppy.
Because a year ago at this time, they demoted him, right?
Yeah. So a year ago, he didn't go to the mini camp that the Bears were granted because they had a new coach. The NFL gives teams that have hired a new coach an extra mini camp, to the purpose of which is to help that coach kind of get things going and help with the transition. So it would have been a very helpful time from Matt Eberflus's perspective to have Jalen Johnson and everybody else there. I think there was like 11 guys that skipped that, Robert Quinn as well. And then when Jalen Johnson did show up for, I want to say it was the second week of OTAs, they had him running on second string. And this is Jalen Johnson. I mean, on a team where they don't even have any cornerbacks at that point. The only other cornerback of note that they even had at that time was Kyler Gordon, who they had just drafted. So there's no chance Jalen Johnson is second string on any cornerback unit in the NFL, let alone a cornerback unit that doesn't have anybody else. And there's just always been this disconnect in my mind. Nothing like egregious, nothing where like, I can't believe he said that. But just always these little things that show like they might be headed toward a point where he and the Bears don't see eye to eye on his value. And this is so early. Like, don't sound the alarm on Jalen Johnson yet. But your job covering this is to pick up the signs early and say, hey, this is headed. It's not necessarily going to end up in a bad spot, but it is headed to a bad spot when you have a guy who things have not always been totally smooth between him and Eberflus and Poles. And it is natural that he would be in a contract negotiation, to say the least, at this point, perhaps even a contract dispute. And now he skips something that is pretty routine for guys to go to, even though technically it's voluntary.
I'm with you on Jalen Johnson. I thought that was crazy last year. So I feel like that's something we have to keep an eye on just because of how things unfolded. I also think that Nate Davis being out is interesting. What are your thoughts on that? Because that's a different offensive line than what you're trying to see when you want to figure out how this offense fits together.
Yeah, but I don't know why Nate Davis wasn't there. I don't know why Jalen Johnson wasn't there, by the way. I have some thoughts on why it could be, but I don't know definitively why either of those guys wasn't there. I would expect Nate Davis, fresh off signing a big contract, will be there sooner than later. And this is probably not a big deal that he's not there.
Well, that's at least a relief. And I know that it seems like the reports that we're seeing was that the connection with Justin Fields and Chase Claypool was one that was positive. What was your impression?
Well, DJ Moore more so. And DJ Moore is like one of the nice things for the Bears with him is he's not a question mark. This is kind of like when they brought in Allen Robinson, and Allen Robinson had put up 1,000-yard seasons with anybody the Jaguars threw out there with him, and then continued to do it here with Mitch Trubisky and whoever else they threw out there with him in Chicago. DJ Moore, I think, has averaged well over 1,000 yards per season for his career playing in Carolina. I mean, that's a mess the last 5 years. That's everybody they can find to play quarterback, and the guy's still going out there getting 1,000 yards. So you bring in someone like that, there's no projection. Darnell Mooney, you're trying to project, is he Darnell Mooney, by the way, you're trying to project whether he's healthy or not, whether he'll be back and be the same guy he was. He was trying to prove something at the time he got hurt. He was still trying to climb and show that he was better than people thought. And Chase Claypool is a guy that Pittsburgh gave up on, and you're trying to project what he could be if things turn around. You're not really projecting with DJ Moore. So I think that that is a really, really good asset to put with Justin Fields.
What can you see to tell you about the offense itself with the new pieces? Because we know that with that mini buy last year, they were able to sort of reconfigure everything to build it around Justin Fields and to change to sort of an old style running game. We know that they don't want to do that anymore. And nobody, as exciting as it was, that they want to broaden it and be a modern passing offense. When will we begin to be able to assess that evolution?
I think you'll probably have to wait till the preseason games to see more of that. And even probably, Dan, I know this isn't what you want to hear, but even probably into September when the games actually start, because teams are not wanting to reveal anything more than they have to. Even in preseason games, they try to keep it basic. They try not to give anyone any kind of early scouting report on what they're going to be. But those changes that you're referencing from last season that worked and really changed the offense around, and they started averaging 30 points a game for a stretch there, that was by necessity. That was because there is nothing else here working. The passing game isn't working like this. There is no time behind this offensive line. There are very limited options to throw to. Let's come up with something that at least is viable, but that's temporary. That was never going to be sustainable for them. They know that. That's not sustainable for Justin Fields physically. He may go through and play all 17 games next year without any problems, but if they play that style again, I don't think there was any quarterback in the league who was more exposed to risk than Justin Fields between the sacks he took and the running. That's a really, really risky game to play, especially when you're the Bears. And I don't see a dependable backup quarterback yet out of the group behind him.
As far as the starting quarterback, what were your takeaways from Fields discussing things with the media and then also just what you saw?
He is always trying to keep things business as usual. And I don't think it's an act with him, having been around him now for 3 years. I think that this really is how he looks at things. He's not thinking about the big picture, but he's also a very smart, perceptive guy. He knows that this is the year. This is the season for him. It's not just a big season. It's the season. By the end of this season, he's either their franchise quarterback or he's gone, because they're moving somewhere out there. They're drafting somebody probably. So he has so much at stake. And again, to my earlier point, Justin Fields doesn't make excuses. In fact, and somebody asked him a question like, hey, isn't it great that all of the problems that they had around you personnel-wise are fixed now, and now you have good players? And like, he's not going to throw those teammates from the past couple of years under the bus. And he's not out here making excuses to begin with. You're making excuses for him in the argument that he could be your franchise quarterback. You're saying, well, he has this, this, and this, but he's not able to show you these things because bad offensive line, bad group of skill players. I do believe that those problems are solved now. I do believe everything's in place enough for him to show you what he can do. They don't have a bunch of Pro Bowl guys on the offensive line or at wide receiver or anything like that, but it's good enough now to where that is not going to be a hindrance to Justin Fields like it was the last 2 years.
You know what I've learned that I think I like about him? When he's being asked questions, he really listens to the question and often asks for clarification. He doesn't just sort of wait for the reporter to finish a turn and then he says, yeah, and gives some rote answer. He wants to answer the question as asked and will make sure that that he understands it. That shows a level of engagement that I appreciate.
Yes, and he doesn't always really want to. He's selective about which questions he's going to really answer, but I don't take it as him being difficult or checking out of the conversation. I think it's what you said, Dan, is he wants to make sure he understands your question And he's not going to be rude, but if it's not a good question, right, he's not really going to spend a lot of time on it. But the, you know, an example, probably the one you're thinking of, was yesterday someone brought up to him something that someone else said. It was something that Tyke Tolbert, the wide receivers coach, said about the wide receivers. And Justin Fields wanted exact clarity on what quote are you referring to? What context did he say? What did he mean by that?
Yep.
Before I addressed it. And I think that's really smart of him. That's very savvy for somebody that age. And it's good that he is mindful of that. You definitely see a difference with him, though, during the week or during the offseason like this and after a game. I think after a game, he's a little bit freer with his words. There's a little bit less of a caution from him about what he'll say. But yes, he has been very engaged, very attentive the last 3 years, and he's very cautious, but aware and conscientious of what he's saying.
It makes sense. Like, I wouldn't want something I said out of context, or if I didn't say something well enough.
But I don't think he's a robot, Layla.
Before the game. But I'm saying, like, you don't want that stuff to be a distraction before the game. I don't blame him for being more casual afterward.
Yeah, and you're right. And yes, he's usually a little more casual about his own performance, a little more kind of just talking to you the way he would talk to anybody and not really thinking of it as a press conference. I do like, though, that even though he is conscientious of what he's saying, I don't think it's robotic. I don't think he's giving canned answers like a lot of quarterbacks do.
No.
So I like that. I think you're getting the authentic Justin Fields. It just might not be as bombastic and inflammatory as you're hoping for.
I also want to ask you about Tremaine Edmonds. He talked about Justin Fields yesterday and brings a different and new perspective. And I appreciated that. Just his impressions, especially playing at the level he's played at. What were your takeaways?
I think Tremaine Edmonds is going to be such a huge guy for them on the field and in their locker room, because he's so established. And this is something you looked at last year on their roster and just didn't really see. Like, who here is really established? It's a short list last season. Tremaine Edmonds comes in having played really well and played on a really good team in a really good, stable organization. So while the Bills still haven't gotten to where everybody thinks they should get, they've been really, really good. They've been a really good defense. They've been in the mix to win the championship the last several years. And you bring in a guy that is fresh out of that. He knows what it would take. And he knows what he's looking for on both sides of the ball to be able to compete like that.
Before we let you go, I want to ask a former Miami Heat beat writer what you think about this improbable performance so far from the team you used to cover.
I don't think it's that improbable. They're not an 8 seed like a lot of 8 seeds that you've seen before that shouldn't even be in the playoffs. I'm not a Heat fan, but I covered them, and I appreciate and respect what they do there, having seen it firsthand and seeing all the things you hear about with them are real when you see it up close. Like, this is really how they operate. They got LeBron James, the biggest player of his era, to play the way they wanted him to play. And they got the best years out of him in his career. And Jimmy Butler, for example, Jimmy has been supposedly, quote unquote, a problem all these places he's been, except Miami. And maybe Jimmy Butler finally found a place that's as serious as he is. Maybe Minnesota and Philly and the Bulls were the problem. They have what I covet so much for the Bulls, which is incredible. Like, they're so synchronized from the front office down to the coaching staff, down to the video staff, down to the trainers. They develop guys like nobody else. They will sign some guy or draft some guy that you think is nobody. They will get him in the best physical shape of his life. They will have him shoot corner threes until his fingers bleed, and he's not going to be in the game pretty much unless he can play defense too. And they kind of demand that out of everybody. I mean, they would bring in guys that were scorers, that were established scorers, like Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic was a terrible defensive player statistically before they got him. And then they brought him in, and he at least got up to average. He at least got up to average perimeter defense. And they do that. You wish the Bulls did that. You see that with like the Spurs, you see it with the Patriots. You wish the Bulls had something like that, or the Bears had something like that, where it's like, you know, for sure they're going to get the best out of the guys they bring in, whether it's a star like Jimmy Butler or some guy like that they signed that everyone else has given up on, some cast off. They will get whatever is the best out of that guy. They will get it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Jason. It's not just in the NBA. I think every pro sports team thinks that they've got that in place or is super confident about their people, but few actually do it. And the Heat are one of those few.
And they have the continuity. They've had the same people. This is really hard to do, even if you succeed. They've had the same people running that organization almost the whole time it's existed.
Yeah, that there's something to be said for that. I was surprised to see Boston win last night. I'm not going to lie, but it's nice to prove me wrong because we get some more basketball out of it. So that's a good thing.
They're really good. I mean, Boston's really good. You're not going to just sweep them, I don't think. I was surprised it got to 3-0.
Jason Leisure, this is great. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times. Our attention turns back to baseball. Christopher Morel is on one and just hasn't stopped being on one. And just when the broadcast crew was talking about it, he goes and does it again last night. It was a rare, easy win for the Cubs. They haven't had enough of those. We're going to talk to Jed Hoyer about that and more when he joins us coming up in a little over a half hour. But I think we got to just run the numbers on Christopher Morel here, because it's continuing to be special and in some ways historic. So there's a lot going on with him, and he's just so much fun to root for. Much fun to root for. I hope he really is this guy that he seems to be.
He is joy.
He is. He reminds me a lot of Pedro Strop. And just you sort of feel the positive vibes coming off of him, and he looks so happy to be playing baseball.
He's like a Ted Lasso character.
Yes. Yes. Football is life. What's his name? Danny
Rojas.
Danny Rojas. Yeah. I haven't watched this year, so the names I have trouble recalling some of it. But yes, baseball is life. That's how it feels watching Christopher Morel, and it's good to see it happen in a win. We'll talk about it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 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 The
Score. The Score. Gotten at least one hit in the previous 11 because he's 0 for 2 so far. The average has dropped to .354. He swings, drills one, deep left field. Can you believe it? Another Christopher Morel home run.
I mean, can you say on fire?
On fire. Yes, I can.
That's a good bit.
It was good here in Demp last night as we were driving back from West Pullman. Got to hear a lot of that, windows down. What a beautiful night last night, just as the lake breeze was coming in. I'm telling you, it was just gorgeous. And again, I just want to say thanks to all the super nice people at Gwendolyn Brooks College Prep. It was their senior night. Congrats to their seniors for their last home baseball game. But we our club was an opponent for them for their senior night. It was a really fun night, a fun game, and the fact that they had people there grilling up burgers and dogs, and it was just that campus is in middle of historic Pullman. That whole Brooks campus, everything they got going there is just really, really nice. So they were wonderful hosts, and we thank them. And driving back, listening to baseball on a night like that, and the Cubs are winning, and you were able to have the windows open for a while, is all good stuff. Tonight, the Cubs host the Mets at Wrigley Field. Pregame begins at 6:05, with first pitch at 6:40 on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. I did these numbers yesterday, and they're even better today, because you're not going to believe what Christopher Morel is doing. He is now up to 52 plate appearances. He has 9 home runs. His isolated power is .612.
Dear God.
His batting average of balls in play is .429. His slash line, and when I say slash line, it's always average, on base, and slugging, .367, .404, .980. That means he's almost averaging a base every plate appearance. He's 98% of the way to first base the moment he stands in there.
I have no words for that.
Think about it. The moment he's standing there, he's 98% of the way to first.
David Ross actually kind of touched on something like this last night.
I mean, he's got some serious power. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious if you've been watching what he can do. He's a threat. As soon as he steps in the box, he's in scoring position. He hits the ball as hard as anybody. Ball just doesn't come down. He gets in the air and makes contact. It's loud, and he's a big energy piece for us. And obviously, what he's doing is pretty amazing. I don't think I've seen many men do this.
You can call him a kid. You're the manager.
Yeah.
Come on, that's okay. And he's fun, and he's likable, and his WRC plus is .265. And in 52 appearances, he's worth 0.9 wins already. He's almost worth a win.
In 52
plate appearances. In 12 games.
That's the most significant one, especially when you think about the 2-7 road trip that they were on before they beat the Mets last night.
Yeah, it's another aspect that it feels like they're better than they are.
That's it.
Doesn't it?
This is the rare occasion where the individuals add up to something less than the individual's worth.
It's very strange in that regard. And I think it has to do with leverage. I think some of this has to, if you want to talk about clutch, unclutch, and however you define it, of remaining yourself and being able to not choke, the Cubs have been kind of choky.
Careful, Dan. You might be backing yourself into a one-run game discussion.
It's more leverage in general. It's more just being able to come through when things matter most. And then sometimes those end up being two-run games. Sometimes that means it's a grand slam. So I don't think it really, it's you do end up in closer games. You're going to end up with more of these leverage opportunities, but ideally with these good teams, we'll talk to Jed about it. He's, you know, he knows, he gets it. He understands how these all work, and it's hard to tell what's variance and what's characteristic and what's meaningful.
You guys know the data based on the averages of averages of averages.
I know they do. And that's, they've got more information than I do. So that's what's going to dictate their moves. I should mention, too, that Ryan Dempster is going to be filling in for Ron Coomer once again. Coomer is expected to be back tomorrow. Pat will be back tomorrow. But it's again going to be Zach Zaidman and Ryan Dempster on the call. And it was a delightful call. It really was. So I expect it will be again. So Morel has 5 home runs in 5 straight games. And it's funny because the Cubs have lost 3 of those games. And I remember that there used to be a time when we would always joke about the headline, the Cubs headline every day. Back when you had newspapers, you'd pick up the newspaper and it would say Sosa homers in Cubs loss. Sosa homers, Cubs lose. And who is the last Chicago Cub to homer in 5 straight games? Slammin' Sammy. And the only place, like I just kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit, about how it's still weird. Our feelings about Sosa, and here it comes again. Here it comes again. Here's Cubs history. All-time great Cubs history. Incredible numbers. Legendary achievements. And it's still weird. There's still something weird.
Well, we have an open segment. Would you like to do it next?
Yeah, I think so. Just take a few minutes and try to talk it through because I don't know there's a resolution. I just think it needs to be acknowledged how odd it is. Like the only place there's any normality to Sosa is how he's deployed in crossword puzzles. Because there's the crossword puzzling world doesn't care about anything and doesn't care about all. It'll say like legendary Cubs Sammy. Even though I always want to tell the editor, like, he's not really legendary Cub. Like, he can't, you know, or they'll say, you know, former MLB-er Sammy. I mean, you could use Elias Sosa. There's other three ways you could do it. But it's that S-O-S-A is often a crutch in crossword fill for constructors. So that's why his name shows up so much. That's the only combination. So let's talk it through. Let's go back a few years to the last time this was done and figure out sort of where we are with all this. Next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
There are the targets.
Yeah, it was all kind of weird. We knew it was weird in the moment, and it stayed weird afterwards, and it certainly hasn't gotten any less weird as the years have gone by. Just kind of what it is. But that was, you know, here's his name again. Here he comes again. One of the great sluggers in the history of the game. And we know why he became a great slugger, and that's part of it. And he's unrepentant about it. The Cubs have decided to make him persona non grata. That's why it's always going to be a little strange when we see, wow, this is usually when you're a fan of a team, it's cool when somebody's name can be invoked from the history and say, Christopher Morel's the first guy to hit home runs in 5 consecutive games. It's Sammy Sosa. And our response is still, okay, yeah, that was fun. And it was 1998. That was the year that Sammy Sosa hit his 66 home runs. And when you look at the pitchers off of whom he hit those home runs, here you go. June 3rd against the then Florida Marlins, Levon Hernandez. June 5th, they started a 3-game weekend series with the White Sox. June 5th off of Jim Parquet, the diminutive lefty. June 6th off of Carlos Castillo, the very much not diminutive right-hander. 7th off of James Baldwin. And then it was against Minnesota, and he homered off of a man who would soon be a Cub, soon enough, in LaTroy Hawkins.
LaTroy Hawkins has been on a few teams, hasn't he?
He has. His history with the Cubs was checkered. There was some tension in his Cubs time.
Talking about Hawkins, but not Sosa.
No, well, that's beyond tension. It's just it's hard to figure out how to do it. And you know, I was in those locker rooms, a lot of those locker rooms, that cramped locker room with his giant boombox and the Mike Kiley genuflecting in front of him and the number of and all of his people, and Sammy would bring his people and his people's people and the jugglers and mimes and magicians and his magic traveling troupe of randos. And there was no control. It was whoever he wanted, and everybody else would grumble about it. And Mark Grace would sit on the other end and smoke and mutter to himself and point at him like, get out of here. Get these people out of here. Why are there 15 people that he's brought in the locker room surrounding him? And he'd sit there and he'd light another Winston and he'd be on with it. But it was he was doing amazing things, hitting the ball 500 feet and doing in this duel with Mark McGwire. And you've seen the documentary about all of it that came out. And it's just, I guess my ultimate takeaway is too bad. It's just too bad that all that happened. And remember, and the whole corked bat thing, that was 04, right?
Wait, but what was too bad?
It was too bad that what ideally you'd love to be baseball fun, you knew were some guys who had gone out of their way to radically alter their body chemistry.
But once again, isn't it just baseballing itself? Because you could argue that was a fairly level playing field at the time. And there's been people who famously embraced it. One of the biggest cheaters in the game is put on front stage center for the world to see. Anytime there is a major baseball production to be had, we see A-Rod every single time. And he famously was one of those people. It's just, when you look at it from a perspective that isn't from here, and you see what you see and how the city receives Sammy and how he talks about him, even how they talk about him even now, it's with this almost hushed tone quality where people don't want to say the necessary parts out loud. And it's furtive in a way. It's like, did he cheat too much for you guys? Is that what happened? Like, and he's never admitted to it. All he's ever said is, I made a mistake. I know he said that to David Kaplan.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to those who have somehow been accepted and those who haven't, and those who've been contrite enough and those who haven't, those who've owned up to it in certain ways or for certain reasons, whether Andy Pettit's like, I was just trying to come back from injury, or someone else.
Right, and he was famously accepted. A-Rod has been celebrated.
I think part of it was just what a terrible teammate he was and just how many of his teammates hated him. That was a huge part of it, and knowing it and seeing it and being around the whole act, that it was all only this separate thing that was going on. The Sammy show was entirely different from a baseball team. And I think that made it very different.
But do you think that that's something that's rare in professional sports?
No, that was extreme. It really was extreme. It was cartoonishly extreme. And there was just such animus. There were so many other important teammates that so actively disliked him and made it clear and didn't hide it.
But does that take away from his actual accomplishment?
I don't know. It changes the feeling of it when the way it ended for a reason, with his teammates beating up his boombox with a bat and smashing it into smithereens. And putting it down, it was like the scene in Office Space with the fax machine. I mean, you could really hear that music in the background. By the way, the corked bat was June of 2003. I only remember because it was the night I saw Finding Nemo. And we came out of Finding Nemo, and something was going on, and we were turning on the radio, like, what's happening? There was something about something Sammy had corked. I think it was Finding Nemo. And it was, and I was on CNN the next morning. I was on the morning show on CNN live, standing in front of Wrigley Field, and they were talking about, oh, the cork of the bat. And I said, let's call this what this is. It really isn't about what he's putting in his bat. It's been about what he's putting in his body. And they were like, well, we're not going to talk about that. And I said, well, if we're not going to talk about that, then we're just doing this as a proxy for what's really going on here, trying to explain, like, that's why this is a big deal, because it brought into sharper focus so many other things that were going on. I'm like, well, we don't want to talk about that. Like, all right, great, whatever.
But he was still, to me, one of the greatest hitters of that era, undoubtedly.
I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are. That's why, you know, Barry Bonds is the greatest home run hitter of all time. And I'm fine with letting them all, put them all in the Hall of Fame. That's fine. I don't care about a museum up there if you want to do that. It's just, my point is, for Cubs fans specifically, to have a historical reference, one of their players now has been so great that he gets compared to someone who, the last person who did this on their team, and yet people still, for whatever reasons, whatever complicated range of reasons, are in a weird position about it.
Who we cannot reconcile.
It's hard.
Who we cannot identify.
And the team won't really help us either, because the team has cast him into the phantom zone. There's no official, for a team that can't wait to celebrate and recognize everything with statues and flags and all that. And the fact that they're sending us that message of, I have no idea what their criteria are for him to be brought back. If he ever will be or would be under the Ricketts family.
Every
ownership.
Time he's been asked about it, it's been met with reticence.
Yeah.
Just like any time you try to get somebody to discuss it who's of consequence, it's met with confusion.
And
it's like a collective emotion that the city has about him, and I don't think it's shared outside of here. Not in the same way. So I think the question comes down to what bothers people. Was it that he was best at it? One of the best at it? Was it the feelings that somebody put into watching him and receiving him and the hope on that particular team?
I don't know. I do think the fact that there's been no guidance on how to feel from the team itself is what really puts us here. The franchise hasn't decided, other than to pretend he doesn't exist.
Because baseball is about celebrating that history. That is part of the game.
More so than in other sports.
And it almost, the fact that we have to even have a feeling about an accomplishment that Christopher Morel had based on this is why you need to figure out what to do with it. That should be celebrated by itself.
Yeah, it just, it adds a layer that makes it weirder than it otherwise should be, is just kind of the point. The fact is, like, oh, it's since Sammy Sosa.
And
a
texter 312 says, what was the culture like around the Texas teams at the same time? Nobody cared. The Cowboys are king there. It was the Rangers knowing that they were going to get waxed by the rest of the AL West at the time. The A's had Hudson, Mulder, and Zito, and though they didn't win anything major, they were still way better. The Rangers had some of the best home run hitters as a collection of a team I don't know, in 20 years at that point, and it still didn't matter. Gabe Kapler was on that team, too. You know, that's a note that kind of gets thrown around. A-Rod, that was a massive contract at the time.
And don't forget
know.
Your magic hitting coach that was going to come solve all the Cubs' woes.
Because when I think of structurally sound swings, it's Jeff Bagwell and Rudy Jaramillo. But it's just, it's all interpreted with a different feeling. And that's kind of my point, is Sammy Sosa was even celebrated in Texas. It wasn't like this. This is unique to hear.
Because of how it all went down there. The circumstances were unique. That's Layla Rahimi in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes. Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, joins us next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.